Highs between 47 and 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 36 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And let's do this. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for Wednesday, December the 3rd, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. I got my main man, Chase Brumfield, alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. We got a busy show on tap for you today. We're going to run it down in just a moment. First, though, I need to tell you, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show is presented by Alabama Credit Union, a top-rated local credit union with 38 locations across Alabama and one branch in Northwest Florida. We are ready to serve you now. The main office, the hub, is right here in Tuscaloosa. But discover a branch near you. Go to alabamacu.com to find out more. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, here's the lineup for today. We've got Chris McCulley, formerly of ABC 3340 in Birmingham, now at WANF in Atlanta. And he is going to talk to us about the Georgia Bulldogs, Alabama's opponent in this upcoming SEC championship game on Saturday afternoon in Atlanta, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So Chris covers the Bulldogs after formerly covering Alabama and Auburn. So he'll give us some good insight into Georgia as they are trying to kind of snap the Bama jinx, if you will. And we'll get the scoop on the Bulldogs from Chris McCulley coming up at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, Alabama women's basketball coach Christy Curry is set to join us. Of course, Alabama is unbeaten, and they'll play Clemson tomorrow night in the ACC-SEC Challenge. Of course, the men play Clemson tonight, and a quick note on that, after dominating the ACC last year in the Challenge, I think it was 14-2, the SEC off to a slow start. They went 3-5 last night and let some get away. Florida had a lead late at Duke. Kentucky had a lead late at home against North Carolina, lost both those games. South Carolina had a lead late at home against Virginia Tech and lost that game. So could have been a lot different, but no woulda, couldas, and shouldas. The SEC is behind 5-3 after one night of the Challenge. So basketball, a big part of this week as well. And then at 10:30, Larry the Music Man, as he will be with us for his weekly segment, and that's always a lot of fun. Football-wise, today is National Signing Day. A lot different than it used to be just a few years ago when it was in February, and they still have one in February now, but this is the one where most people sign, but not nearly the hoopla. Still, Alabama is expected to sign a top five class, and I'll run down some of those guys for you this morning as and we might tell you what I might do, too. I might try to get Brody Smoot to jump on with us, but he's probably busy. We'll probably wait until tomorrow to do recruiting recap, in fact, either tomorrow or Friday, to do a recruiting recap. But Alabama signing a lot of guys, including Zay Hall, linebacker from Hillcrest High School. In fact, he is set to sign. He's signing right now. We've got a crew down there from WVUA 23. Zay Hall is eking. Just got the tweet from Hillcrest with my crew. Zay Hall, they're having a busy day, Chase. They got Zay Hall signing with Alabama, Caden Smith signing with Vanderbilt, A.J. Love signing with Mercer, and Deshaun Pope signing with North Alabama. So pretty busy, day down at Hillcrest. And also former Hillcrest player P.J. Grant is there signing with Arkansas State with Butch Jones and company. So National Signing Day is here. So we're set with a busy, busy day of sports talk here on the Gary Harris Show. 205-342-9904 is the number if you want to give us a call on the Gary Harris Show hotline. And let's go ahead and take a phone call this morning. In fact, Mary from Atlanta, Mary in the ATL, has chimed in with us and is ready to go. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. It amazes me the maturity level of some of the fans with certain fan bases because I'm still celebrating from Saturday. I mean, other people might just, you know, do the 24 hours and done, but I'm still basking in the glory of that victory. But it's so funny the way these Georgia fans are acting over here. It blows my mind every single time, their maturity level, because not even 12 hours after we won Saturday night, my phone started blowing up. And their maturity level just amazes me. So I hope they're ready for round two. That's all I can say about that.
Well, you know, Gene Stallings used to call it whistling past the graveyard, try to show people that you're not scared. And I think Georgia fans now are at the point where they, quite honestly, are they've been beat down by Alabama so much that they're trying to give this perception that they're confident and that they're it's their time. And it may be. You know, I don't want to shortchange Georgia, Mary. That's a really good program. You know, they've lost one game this year, and that was to Alabama. So they are good, and you know, but Alabama's got, you know, got their number, so to speak. So we'll see again if they can keep it going.
Yeah, well, I know for a fact that playing where we're going to be, Mercedes-Benz has been pretty good to us. And you know, I had a couple people I was talking to last weekend. They said, "Oh, can y'all just let us have this one? Y'all owe us one." And I said, "Excuse me, I don't think so. There's no freebies in football." So I said, look, no, because technically we haven't won a championship in 2 years. It's our time to shine. And I feel like, you know, even though, yeah, we've had our hiccups throughout the season and, you know, we've had our two losses and, you know, we've had some wins that are not necessarily pretty, I feel like we've earned this spot. I feel like we've worked hard. Ty Simpson's led us to a pretty great place. And I like where we landed in the playoff rankings last night. So I don't think that there should be any freebies allowed. And I feel like both teams have earned their place in this championship game. But I also feel like this game is going to be fought tooth and nail to get a victory from both sides. Both sides want it so hard. And I feel like it's just going to be another nail biter.
Yeah,
I think it will be too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I really don't think that this is going to be the same Georgia team that we played back in September. Do you feel the same?
Oh, absolutely. They're a much better team. And as I said on the show, right now, I mean, I would, you know, doesn't mean that Alabama, I picked Georgia to win last night on Tider Insider TV, 24-21. So, but I picked Georgia to win up in Athens. But if you ask me right now who the best team in the SEC is, I would say it's Georgia. And that doesn't mean Alabama can't win the game, obviously. But I think right now they have hit their stride. Now, they didn't have a great offensive game against Georgia Tech, but that was a rivalry game.
Sure.
But down the stretch, I thought they played the best football. The wins that they were able to string together, you know, beating Texas handily, beating Ole Miss, so it's going to be a tough task for Alabama, but Alabama has done it before, and we know every time that, they've run into Georgia in the SEC championship game, beginning with Nick Saban, they beat them, so they're going to try to do it again.
I think so. I mean, it's going to be like a heart-fought battle between both sides, and, you know, I just feel like both sides want it so bad that I just felt this is going to be a really close game. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see because, I mean, both sides want it. I mean, I feel like in a way we want it a little bit more than they do. And I'm biased. I'm extremely biased because that's just how I am. I try to always be confident no matter what. But I just feel like this is just going to be a hard-fought game and we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And let me say this again because, I always get a little pushback when I pick against Alabama. And I'm not saying it's reverse mojo. I'm not because I think Georgia's going to win the game, but I certainly think Alabama's capable of winning the game. Would not surprise me if they win the game 24-21. You know, it's a score that tells you it could go either way. I just kind of feel like, and I have for a while, and I may be wrong again, that when you're as good as Georgia has been, no one team, even Alabama, should be able to consistently beat you. And I just think the more that they play, you know, the more opportunities it is for Georgia to finally win another one. And that's kind of my reasoning for picking the Bulldogs. But, hey, I hope I'm eating Crow again on Monday like I was earlier this year. this year when Alabama went into Athens and beat them. So I'll happily be, right. You know, I guess last time Chase fried it up for me. Maybe this time we'll bake it or saute it or broil it or something like that. But if Bama wins, I'll take my serving of crow on Monday morning gladly. I promise you that. And I'll be there Saturday. Sure. So I'll be there for the game.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'll see it happening right in front of me.
Well, safe travels down here because I know how bad that 285 traffic can get down here. So safe travels.
Well, thank you, Mary. And I love your attitude. You're behind your team 100%. And
always.
And looking forward to it. All right. Have a great weekend. Heck, I'll talk to you again before the weekend. You'll be checking in again before the game. But have a great day.
I'll do my best. And again, safe travels.
All right. Thank you, Mary. 9:17 here on the Gary Harris Show. We are off and running. And we've got Chris McCulley from over there in Atlanta TV going to join us at 9:30 to talk about the Bulldogs. I'll run down some of Alabama's early signing class members as they have, they've really signed most of their guys already this morning. It's been busy, busy for Alabama. And in fact, I'll do that update when we come back. The guys that have already eked, and there's some big, big names. Some of the biggest names in high school football are eking with the Alabama Crimson Tide today. We'll have that for you. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield, the Gary Harris Show rolls on from Tuscaloosa right here on Skyland Boulevard. We'll be back after this.
On the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Wednesday morning. Governor Ivey is considering three Tuscaloosa attorneys, 41-year-old John Baird, 47-year-old Chad Hobbs, and 36-year-old Corey Seal, to replace the recently retired Tuscaloosa County Circuit Judge Brad Allman. They were selected from a pool of six candidates. A final selection is expected before the end of the year. Click TuscaloosaThread.com throughout the day for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special.
And it's always no work and all play at Silver Star and Golden Moon Casinos. So come on, leave it all behind and head to Pearl River Resort.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and
9:22, it is the most wonderful time of the year. I agree with that. I love the holiday season. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We're going to get the phone call here in just a moment with Bryce, but knocking out some of these signees today for Alabama football. The Crimson Tide has been busy this morning. They have already signed Alexander City, Benjamin Russell High School, All-State wide receiver Sadarian Morgan, one of the top wide receivers in the country. Four-star defensive lineman Jamarian Matthews has already signed. Four-star defensive lineman Nolan Wilson has signed. Alabama did have a running back flip. Javari Barnett flipped back to Illinois. He announced this morning he had originally committed to Illinois and then to Alabama. Alabama has signed two quarterbacks. Of course, Taden Kawa is one of them. They signed Franklin, the defensive end from Daphne, who committed yesterday to Alabama. Zion Gibson, the great cornerback from Gadsden City, signed already. Kamarian Johnson, defensive lineman, has signed. Jet Tamala, the other quarterback commit, has already signed as well. Five-star running back Xavier Crowell signing with Alabama. And just a few minutes ago, Hillcrest linebacker Zay Hall signing with the Crimson Tide. And we are there for his signing ceremony on WVUA 23. We'll have coverage tonight on WVUA 23 News at 5. Offensive tackle Jared Doughty signed with Alabama this morning out of Atlanta. Chris Booker, four-star offensive lineman, also out of Atlanta, signed with the Crimson Tide. Bear Fretwell, another offensive lineman from the state of Georgia, signing with the Crimson Tide. Georgia defensive lineman Corey Howard signing with Alabama. Five-star defensive back Jordan Edmonds signing with the Crimson Tide. That's a big one. So, as is five-star defensive back Jarai Edwards. So Alabama busy this morning, racking up a great class. All right, let's get out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and talk to Bryce. Hey, good morning, Bryce.
Gary, you know who Russ Probst is, right?
Of course I do.
Did you see what he's done?
I know he's taking Cusa Christian in the state championship game, yeah.
Yeah. Lynette, is that over on the Georgia line? Or
yeah, Lynette's down in southeast Alabama. Pretty not far from the Georgia line, yeah.
Is that where Phillip's from, around in that area?
Yeah, I think he's down in that area somewhere, yeah. Yeah. Lynette.
Well, that's who they're playing.
Yeah.
That's who they're playing.
Yeah. I followed Russ Probst all year long. Yeah, I followed his entire career. In fact, I've told this story before. His first coaching job was at Cleburne County High School, where I graduated high school with. He was assistant coach there when he was 23 years old. So,
Right. And Gary, Alabama finished one in the conference. That's correct, right?
Finished tied for first, but they are the number one seed based on the way they do the tiebreaker. Yep.
Well, I had a discussion with someone, and they said we hadn't won anything yet.
Well, they have it. I mean, you have to, you know, the SEC champion will be crowned in Atlanta on Saturday. They don't do multiple, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M all finished 7-1 in the conference. Had they not had a conference championship game, then all four of those teams would have been, you know, co-champions. But as far as the tiebreaker is concerned, Alabama is the number one seed. They'll be wearing the home crimson on Saturday afternoon, and Georgia will be in their whites. But if Alabama loses that game, Georgia is the SEC champion. And Ole Miss A&M cannot be the SEC champion because they have a conference championship game.
So it's not like basketball then, what you're saying?
Yeah, what I'm saying is the SEC champion is the winner of that game. There's no four teams finished tied for the best record, but there'll only be one SEC champion. Yeah, all four of those teams will be co-champions, or they'll say the team that wins the tiebreaker is the champion. That SEC champion will be crowned after that game on the field on Saturday afternoon. They'll bring a stage down there, and Greg Sankey will present the trophy to the winning head coach.
Well, basically, would you say that Caleb Boyd's done a good job being able to finish the number one seed in the conference?
I say he's done an excellent job. I think he's done a really good job this year. Absolutely. You go 7-1 in this league against that schedule, win four SEC road games. I say he's done a terrific job.
Well, I did see where Notre Dame flip-flopped, put them 10 and us 9, so somebody's starting to get some comments.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned that already. I was going to talk about it a little bit later on, but that is huge news. Alabama moving up and flip-flopping when Notre Dame puts the Crimson Tide in position to be a selection in that college football playoff, even if they were to lose to Georgia on Saturday. So that was big news with Alabama moving up to 9. Absolutely.
Well, that's what I thought, too. But what's your take on Vanderbilt? I think they should have a place in the playoffs.
You know what? They probably should, but they're not going to make it. I mean, that's the thing. If this were a 16-team playoff, but, you know, Vanderbilt, part of it is You know, I don't care what anybody says. That name recognition, even with Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt is not going to make it in the college football playoff unless there was some weird circumstance. They're just not going to make it in. Right now, in my opinion, you're going to have Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. If a fifth team were to get in, then, you know, in Oklahoma. So that's your fifth team. So there is five teams. So the five teams that are going to get in are the five that I just rattled off. Vanderbilt and Texas, I don't think you're going to make it. So Alabama, well, Georgia, Ole Miss, A&M, and Oklahoma.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But I feel like, you know, this committee is head scratching the way they're doing this thing.
Well, they moved Alabama ahead of Notre Dame, so that'll help. Hey, right, Bryce, I'm going to get another phone call, man. Good to hear from you, my friend. Always a pleasure. Let's get to Pat here before we close out the segment. Hey, Pat.
Man, Gary asked you what I was talking about Miami. We're in a deal where everybody gets a trophy kind of a thing. These teams that don't belong to be in the college football playoffs is a travesty. Travesty, you hear me? Notre Dame not being in over, Miami not being in over Notre Dame is a travesty. I'm not a Miami fan, and I'm sure not a Notre Dame fan. And it goes all the way back. I still got a bone to pick with them over the 1966 championship that we didn't get, the missing ring. That, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, hey, they do not deserve to be in over Miami, who Miami beat heads up. What do you think?
Yeah, let me say this. I think Notre Dame is one of the 12 best teams in the country. I do. I think Miami is one of the 12 best teams in the country. But Notre Dame and Miami played. Miami beat them head up. So you're right. If I were ranking them, I would have Miami ahead of Notre Dame. I mean, their resumes are similar, but Miami beat Notre Dame head up. So I'm with you. I would pick Miami. But I will say this. We went from a BCS, two teams, to a 14 playoff, to a 12-team playoff. And now, you know, there are people who don't get in the 12-team playoff that aren't going to be happy. You know, there's always going to be somebody left out. Pat, that's just the way it works,
well,
man.
It's just like, hey, Texas right now is one of the top teams in the country as far as that. He's finally, it took him a long time. Hey, but that quarterback's finally playing like what he was built to be. And so I don't know about that. You know, it's just, yeah, bloom too late. Yeah. I guess is the point. Is that about right?
Yeah, probably so. All I know is, Pat, in this part of the country, we're feeling pretty good after Alabama got moved ahead of Notre Dame last night. So,
that was a big deal. And all I know is I'm happy to have my quarterback, Jet Kamala, signed, sealed, and delivered to the University of Alabama.
I know you are. You love you some Jet. He's a good one. Hey, thank you, Pat.
Yep, have a blessed one. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, 9:31 here on the Gary Harris Show. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa is open all through December. The holidays are here, but that doesn't mean you can't go work out. Yeah, I know you're going to be celebrating with some great food and festive parties and all of that, and that's fine. But get that gym time in as well, you know, and then say in January when you decide you're going to kick the diet in, you'll have a head start. The YMCA, 2300 13th Street downtown in Tuscaloosa. The Y is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. We'll come back with Chris McCulley from Atlanta News first to talk Alabama and Georgia SEC championship game next year on the Gary Harris Show.
There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time.
Easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
for well-qualified customers with auto pay plus taxes, fees, and $35 device connection charge. Credits and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel. Contact us. Finance agreement 256 gigabytes, $830 required. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Stay up to date with the Crimson Tide.
Local high school sports and Bama and the Pros right here.
On Tide 100.9.
As long as you're with me, it's always the time of the year. You make every day feel.
All right, 9:36. Like welcome back in to the Gary Harris Show. Busy already this morning with plenty of phone calls. Right now, we're going to welcome in our first guest to the program, Chris McCulley from Atlanta News First, formerly ABC 3340, and also back in the day, CBS 42, but now over in the ATL. And we're going to get his scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs and Alabama Crimson Tide in the SEC Championship game. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Gary.
Good to have you, buddy. You've covered this game from the Alabama perspective. Now you're covering it from the Georgia perspective. I think it's kind of interesting that it looked like A&M was going to make it this year for the first time. Ole Miss was going to make it. There were other teams that felt like they had a shot. But in the end, it's Bama and Georgia again. How about that?
I mean, it's tradition like any other, really, is what we keep saying. I mean, I couldn't imagine an SEC championship without Bama and Georgia. And, I mean, honestly, I think Georgia fans and players won't admit it, but they wanted probably not to be in it right now because they wanted to try to slide in and maybe get that bye without having to play an extra game and, you know, and stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the thing that's so odd now about these conference championship games with this expanded playoff is some people feel like it's an advantage if you know you're going to be in the playoff not to have to play in one. It's an extra game after a long season. It's going to be a really physical game with two good teams. So, yeah, there's some debate on that. There's no debate on this, though, that the winner of that game on Saturday afternoon is going to hoist a trophy. You know, Greg Sankey is going to come down on the field. They're going to set up that stage, and they're going to hand an SEC championship trophy to the winning team and its head coach. So there's still a lot to play for. I kid people, Kirby and Smart and George, they can beat everybody in the SEC except for Alabama. What's the feeling over there? I know that when you're as good as Georgia has been, you're never going to not be confident. I mean, you're going to feel like you can beat anybody, but Alabama has certainly had Kirby's number. He's 1-7 against the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I mean, what we keep saying is Alabama is Kirby's kryptonite. And if you go back and even look at that one win in the national championship that Kirby had against Alabama, it was without Mechie and Jamison. So, I mean, he's almost an asterisk right there. Like, who knows what could have happened if Alabama had been healthy right then. Like, he could be have a goose egg in the win column. And it's just something about, I think, just the way Alabama's defense has always built up against a Kirby Smart offense, no matter who the OC is. They've been able to just dominate the offense no matter what. They just play Alabama-style bully ball, really, and what we're used to. And that's how I felt like it was in September. It was just that defense was dominant on Gunner and even the running game. And I will say now the running game of Georgia's has stepped up, and it's like is a running back by committee of Chauncey Bowens and Nate Frazier. And it's just, I mean, they have really opened up. But I did joke the other day in the office. I was like, if Kalen wants to, you know, really scare Kirby, you put Nick on that sideline just standing there, because that seems like what's really has scared Kirby in the past is just looking across and seeing Nick Saban across the field.
You know, I keep hearing about how much Georgia has improved since the first meeting between the two teams, and I think that's true. And meanwhile, Alabama, there's a feeling that Alabama's not playing as well as it was early in the season. What's your take on that, that Georgia has really improved a lot and that Alabama maybe has not improved as much as Georgia has? So Georgia has an advantage in this SEC championship matchup on Saturday. What's your response to that?
Yeah, Georgia's biggest problem early on was they always had slow starts. They had slow starts against Alabama. They even had a slow start against Auburn, which they never should have. But now it seems like those slow starts are like they've gone. I mean, they came out, you know, dominated Texas. And while watching Alabama, it seems they're letting teams stay in it. And if you let teams keep staying in it, especially this type of Georgia team that's kind of coming together more on offense and exploding, they're going to make you pay. And especially with Gunnar Stockton's got a slew of wide receivers that he can throw to and can maybe pick on some of that young secondary, as like Auburn was doing the other night.
Mm-hmm. For Georgia, they're in the playoff regardless, and I feel like Alabama is as well. But Georgia, we know, is in at 11-1. So if they lose this game, they're still going on to the playoff. Now, if they win, there's going to be a bye, and I think if Alabama wins, there'll be a bye as well. But from the Georgia perspective, from the fans, you live in Atlanta, you know you're around them. Are they already trying to rationalize this game with that thinking? Well, you know what, we'd like to win, but if we don't win, we were already secured our playoff spot. Are they kind of rationalizing because they know the opponents in Alabama? How confident, I guess, is what I'm asking, are Georgia people, not necessarily the team and the coaches, but how confident are the Georgia fans about this game?
Oh, they're extremely confident. They know, this is just another game. Yeah, if you win the SEC title, you win the SEC title. It's nothing like it used to be, but they know that they're in. But Georgia fans would love to have that first round bye and not have to worry about possibly, getting knocked out. Granted that, a playoff game in Athens would be amazing, and fans would have said that they would love it. But it's just, they would much rather have that first round bye, especially with all the injuries they have on the offensive line. And I mean, everyone's banged up right now. Kirby said that just the other day in his presser that Alabama and Georgia are both banged up from the last time they played each other. And it's just another game to fans, really. They're already looking ahead to the college football playoff.
Maybe it is just another game from that standpoint, but for Kirby personally, it's got to be something more than that. I mean, he spent 9 years here at Alabama, was Nick Saban's right-hand man, won national championships. You know, he has beaten Alabama once for a national title, but to be 1-7 against the Crimson Tide, he would never say it publicly, Chris, but I mean, this game's got to be different for him than if he was facing A&M or Ole Miss or somebody else from the SEC, right? I mean, you can't tell me that down deep it's not more special to him to beat Alabama than it is all these other teams in the SEC that he beats every year.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, he wants to beat Bama, but it's just, I know he'll never publicly say it, come out and say how much he wants to beat him, but it's just, you can see in his face every time when he comes out of that tunnel against Alabama, it's a different look, I feel, from him. Now, I do see a different look once Alabama starts dominating Georgia, but I think, yeah, he has more, I think this is more of his biggest rival and hit, like, personally for him. I mean, because he grew up in the state and he knows the history behind Alabama, but he also knows the struggles he had. And while, maybe like we don't look as Bama, Georgia as a huge rival, I really feel like Kirby, that might be his biggest rival, even outside, bigger than, outside of maybe Georgia Tech. This Alabama game, in his personal perspective, is his biggest rival because he knows how much he struggled. He's out there to prove the point, like, I can beat Alabama. He's tired of hearing these questions about the struggles of why he struggles against them. Why can't he beat them? Like, you can see in his face when he gets asked that, he's ready to put a winning streak on beating Alabama and get rid of this losing.
Let me ask you this question. Since you covered Alabama and Auburn in a state where there are no major professional sports – And SEC football is so big everywhere, SEC basketball too for that matter. But what's it like covering Georgia, and I guess Georgia Tech to some degree as well, in a state where right there in Atlanta, you've got the NBA, you've got the NFL, you've got Major League Baseball. I mean, you've got major professional sports right there in your city. How, and I know it's Georgia and Georgia Tech are still big, but is it different covering a college programs that have major pro sports as opposed to Alabama and Auburn where there isn't any of that? What's the differences?
You know, I thought when I came over here, there would be a huge difference, but honestly, it's Georgia first and then it's Falcons.
Really?
Actually, it'll go Braves second and then Falcons.
Yeah.
It's, you drive around, you see more Georgia Bulldog fans than in downtown Atlanta than you see like on the back of their cars. Then you see like Falcons or any of the other pro teams here. And then you'll see Tech, you know, of course, as well. But it's, we, like, even at our station, we focus a lot more on Georgia football. And it seems like that's what people care more about. Granted, I mean, it doesn't help that the Falcons are just, let's just face it, I mean, they're not a great team right now. So, and Georgia, like, is at the top tier of college football. So, of course, if you're a Georgia and a Falcons fan, you're still going to focus more on Georgia because you want to win and you love winning and you want to watch your team succeed and not have to go through the disappointment that the Falcons are putting you through this whole season for sure. But it amazes me how many Georgia fans you see, like, and they make it, how much it, publicly they make it. And it's just, I mean, it's basically like it was like in Alabama. Like, you will, like, if seeing Bama and Auburn, you see Georgia and occasionally Georgia Tech on the back of cars and people decked out in their gear, you know, around the store at restaurants. And it kind of surprised me, like I said. Like, I thought it would be more pro-based, but it's Georgia first.
Yeah. SEC, it just means more. Chris McCulley from WANF, Atlanta News First. Buddy, we appreciate it. Are you going to be at the game on Saturday?
I will not. I have to stay back and help produce our post-game show.
Yeah, so that's what I wondered. I'll be there. I guess Lee Smith will be there, right?
Yeah, Lee's definitely going to be there. So you'll see.
All right, I'll see Lee. Hey, Chris, appreciate it, man, and happy for you. I know that's a really good job you've got there, and congratulations, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, take care.
All right, Chris McCulley from WANF, Atlanta News First. It is 9:48. We'll take a timeout. We're going to come back with phone calls. And if you were calling earlier, we weren't able to catch the phones, but go ahead and call back. We'll take phone calls in this next segment. We'll be right back after this.
Never want to stop feeling like the first thing on your wish list. Right about the top.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept, Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m., available for after...
On track two is delayed.
And all the while, you were on your commute home. There's more to imagine when you listen. Discover romance titles on Audible.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour.
At Decades, it's not just food. It's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A brighter day today, the sky mostly sunny, the high 51. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 33. For tomorrow and Friday, cloudy both days with periods of rain, highs between 47 and 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 35 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama.
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.
100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:52. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Loving the Christmas music. We're going to just play this Christmas music all the way through because it's holiday season. When on Fridays, we might, you know, go back to our get you ready for the weekend songs, but every other day, we want to play some Christmas tunes. All right, we're going to squeeze in a couple phone calls here. Let's get to Tom, and then we'll get to Corey and Trustful. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Morning, Gary. I got a scenario that I think that I'm seeing unfold with the selection committee, and I want to see if you agree with it. When they moved Alabama to number 9, Alabama's in. That leaves 10, and 11, and 12 spots to absorb the chaos of this coming weekend. Alabama's in. When they moved them ahead of Notre Dame, that I think that nailed the coffin shut for our interest into the college football playoff. Don't you?
I agree 100%. Yeah, I think Bama's in. Barring, you know, now, maybe if you go over there and you get beat by 30 points, maybe that changes the committee's thinking. But right now, barring something like that, Alabama is in the college football playoff.
Now, the reason I say that is when Texas beat A&M last weekend, that diminished that win against Notre Dame, which I always said all year, Notre Dame win by Texas A&M was second tier anyway, because the only two teams that ranked are good teams that Notre Dame played was the first two games of the season. They lost.
Well, I'm going to say this now. I'm not going to bash Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame is one of the 12 best teams in the country. I mean, I think if Alabama and Notre Dame played on a neutral field, I think Notre Dame would be favored. So I'm not going to be into this, well, Notre Dame's not any good line of thinking.
No, I don't mean it.
I think Alabama deserves to be in the college football playoff. I think they deserve to be ranked ahead of Notre Dame, but I think Notre Dame is a really good football team.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying,
making sure.
I'm speaking through the eyes of the committee.
Okay.
And I'm trying to interpret what they see and how they came about to see if I understand the reason. Now, that it's not always easy.
Well, here's what I think, Tom, since this is what I think. I think Alabama finished with a win over Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium. They're the number one seed in the SEC championship game. Greg Sankey is a powerful commissioner, and I think that committee said, you know what, there's no way. This is a bad look if the team that finished as the number one seed, even though there are four teams that had 7-1 records in the SEC, Alabama's the number one seed, and they're not in the playoff in these next-to-last rankings. That's a bad look. So I think they moved Alabama ahead of Notre Dame for that reason. And I'm with you. I think barring something like a blowout loss to Georgia, Alabama's going to be in the college football playoff even if they lose that game. Obviously, if they win that game, I think they'll get a bye. So, and they'll be the SEC champions. So I think Alabama's in good shape.
I'd rather have a home game than a bye.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen, because if Alabama loses to Georgia and gets in, they're going to travel. And if they win, they're more than likely going to get a bye. So I don't think that home game's in the cards.
But to me, I would covet a home game over a bye. That's what I'm asking.
Well, I wouldn't, because I want to get. I'd rather get in the quarterfinals without having to play a first round game. I mean, that's the way I'm thinking. I'm trying to. If you want to win a national championship, why would you want to play an extra game? Other than you're a fan
well,
and you
right.
want to go.
You're right.
You know, but from a strategy standpoint, you'd much rather have the bye and get into the quarterfinal.
Got you.
All right, Tom. Appreciate it, man. All right, we're going to get Corey in here, my man over there in Trustful. We got to keep it a little bit shorter than normal. Corey, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing great.
Well, I think we as fans cannot expect Alabama to go 13 of 19 on third down against Georgia this time. But I also do not expect Alabama to give up 224 rushing yards.
I hope not.
Like they did the first time. I think this will be a defensive game again. I think the quarterbacks are similar. But I think you could give the edge to Ty Simpson because of the weapons he has. I just think turnovers, field position, and just limiting your mistakes is going to be the key in this game because you as long as you don't make the big mistake and And that's where I think it's come down to this game, because Alabama hasn't had explosive plays, but if you don't let Georgia wear you down with the running game, and I think Alabama really can win this game. Now, I know it's hard to beat a team twice. We've seen it before with Alabama and Georgia, but I think that Alabama's got a real chance to win this game, and I think they do.
Well, I like your thinking. I think you study it, and you've got a good – and listen, I wouldn't be surprised one bit if Alabama wins, even though I picked Georgia to win the game. And, you know, we know this much. If it's close in the fourth quarter, Alabama has pulled those games out all year. The only one that they didn't win was Oklahoma, and that's because they turned it over three times. So if they take care of the football and it's a close game in the fourth quarter, I like Alabama's chances too. Hey, thank you, Corey.
What time does Xavier Griffin sign?
I have to go back and check the list. I'm not. He may have already signed. I've got a running list. I tell you what I'll do. I'll pass that information along to you in the second hour. How about that?
Okay. Thank you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Corey. All right. Let's go wrap it up for hour number one. Brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two is on the way. We'll open it up with Alabama women's basketball coach Christy Curry. Keep it dialed in. Tide 100.9 FM and 12:30 AM WTBC.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The NBA's late game went to Oklahoma City, which has won 13 games in a row after a victory at Golden State, 124-112. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 38 points. At Boston, 42 for Jaylen Brown in a win over New York, 123-117. Minnesota's Anthony Edwards scored 44 points in an overtime decision at New Orleans, 149-142. And Philadelphia whipped Washington, 121-102. Tyrese Maxey, 35 points in 29 minutes. The Wizards fall to 3-17. In college hoops, Syracuse upset number 13 Tennessee. Duke edged Florida 67-66. Number 5 UConn won at Kansas 61-56. And North Carolina won at Kentucky 67.
Is it up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/RADIO.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield with you, and we're talking hoops to kick things off in this second hour. Of course, the Alabama men host Clemson tonight in the ACC-SEC Challenge, and then the Alabama women get the Clemson Tigers tomorrow night in the ACC-SEC Challenge. So we've got the men tonight, the women tomorrow night, and joining us to talk about Alabama women's basketball great start is the head coach of the Crimson Tide, Christy Curry. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning.
Let's see, 8 up, 8 down. I mean, you can't do any better than 8-0. So I know you're, before we get to the Clemson game, the start for your team has been perfect so far. Doesn't mean there haven't been growing pains. Doesn't mean that you're still trying to kind of put together your roster. But the thing I have noticed about your team is resiliency, closing out games, and different players stepping up. It's not been a situation where, you know, just one player has dominated everything for you. You've spread it around with scoring, with rebounding, with assist. You've had a really well-rounded group of players so far.
Yeah, you know, it has to come by committee. You know, this team has 7 new faces and 8 returnees, and I think on any given night, you're going to have new folks that are going to be able to step up and maybe lead you in scoring that maybe didn't in the last game. So, you know, it's a different team, and we're a work in progress. You know, practices, you know, to build resilience and grit and toughness, I think it starts in practice. And so they're competitive. You know, we love who this team can become, but we're not where we need to be. But we do feel good about, you know, the direction we're headed in. You know, played a very good Minnesota team and Harvard team, and it doesn't get any easier tomorrow night with a really good Clemson program coming to town.
You know, I was watching, I love watching the NFL and love watching the the locker room videos that the teams post now. And there was a coach said, hey, can you win it in the first quarter? No. Can you win it in the second quarter? No. Can you win it in the third quarter? No. Can you win it in the fourth quarter? Yes. And your team's been doing that. I mean, like I said, you've been closing teams out down the stretch and have had a lot of strong fourth quarters. Now, Minnesota might have been a little bit of the exception in that that one went right down to the wire. But for the most part, in the fourth quarter, you've put teams away.
Yeah, just trying to find a way to win down the stretch. You know, we talk a lot about it's not always how you start, which is important. And we did get off to a better start, you know, against Minnesota. But it's got to be how you finish. And as the game goes and you understand tendencies and how they're playing and how they're defending, what they're executing on the offensive end, what are little things that we need to self-correct and have the self-awareness to get better as the game moves along. So I think, you know, this team is really – you know, got their whole heart and soul into trying to make sure that we just focus on how do we get better today? What's within our control? And, you know, Clemson's really good. I mean, obviously they returned two starters from a year ago. We returned two starters, played them last season, a dominating win, but they're a different roster. You know, they've had a lot of support with the portal and financial support, and they've done a really good job with building their roster, and we're going to have to be ready to play. They've played, you know, a couple games at South Carolina, Louisville, you know, and they just had an experience in the Bahamas as well at the same tournament just a couple days later than we were there. So it'll be good, you know, very similar styles. You know, they run a lot of split action and shoot the three and have an inside presence. So I think it'll be curious who can make more threes tomorrow night, who's going to defend better, who can knock down open shots.
Yeah, I'm going to ratchet it up a little bit tomorrow night. 6 o'clock tip inside Coleman Coliseum. Big game, two good teams, and, you know, conference pride is on the line. Let's be honest. This is SEC versus ACC, so a great opportunity for fans with that 6 o'clock tip on a Thursday evening to get out and still, you know, have plenty of time to get home for the kids and everything else. So I know you're excited and anticipating a really nice crowd tomorrow night to cheer your team on against this really good Clemson squad.
Please, everyone, come out. You know, I know our men are going to have a great crowd tonight. We need to build on that tomorrow night. Two great games back-to-back nights in Coleman. You know, a big weekend for our football team. Just so much excitement on campus. And I think it's, you know, when you have a great group of students and a great fan base behind you, you know, I always say you walk in on the road, you're 10 down. So creating that home court environment is going to be really important. It was fun to watch, you know, the men's games last night. You know, I think the Duke and Florida and then UNC and, man, it's just an exciting time, and it's so competitive when you have the SEC, ACC, and, you know, it's something that we on the women's side take a lot of pride in defending for our league and the SEC coming out on top here in a couple days.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, as I mentioned, your team has been able to spread the wealth. As you said, it's by committee. Timmons, Cody, Weathers have all been leaders for your team. And I like how you're, you know, integrating Ace Austin in more and more. And again, I know that she's a true freshman, but we that follow basketball in this state, you know, we know how important that was for you to sign her, her high school background with all the state championships there at Spring Garden and going back to when she was in the seventh and eighth grade. And, you know, much like Sarah Ashley Barker, she can kind of be a face of the program. I want to ask you about her development and where she's at with her game. And it seems like she just continues to get better and better. And I guess that's the expectation when you sign a talented freshman like that.
Yeah, you know, it just takes time, you know, and each and every day. She's had a couple of ankle injuries and sprained her ankle terribly before we left for the Bahamas. She's still a little limped up with that, but, you know, she's looking better yesterday than she had in the past 6 days. I think it's just her staying healthy is going to be critical, and hopefully tomorrow night, you know, she's going to be able to step up and really give us some solid minutes. I think it's a great matchup at the point guard position. You know, I think Diana Collins is playing her best basketball for us and has really shot the ball well, has command of our team. And, you know, when Ace and her are in the backcourt together, it gives you an additional ball handler. You know, I just think it's going to be really important tomorrow night that, you know, our backcourt has to defend, has to shoot the ball well. So Ace and Diana will play a big part in that.
Let me ask you about Essence Cody as well, because she's got the physicality and the size that you need in the SEC down in the post. And it seems like her game has developed a lot more consistency this year, that she's, you know, it's nice to have a player that, you know, maybe if you're not shooting the three as well, or you're struggling offensively, if you can get the ball down to her on the block, she's got a chance to either score, get fouled, or she's also good at excellent at kicking it back out to an open shooter.
Yeah, you know, on offensive boards, that's the best time to shoot the three ball, and I think she's done a really nice job improving her passing. But the thing with Essence is just her discipline. Our conditioning is better. You know, we've got to keep her out of foul trouble. Mm-hmm. And I think tomorrow night they'll go at her early and often. So her verticality and her discipline with walling up is going to be really critical that we keep her on the floor. You know, Naomi Jones has really made a tremendous amount of progress, had 8 and 7, you know, against Kennesaw off the bench. So I feel good about, you know, Essence and Naomi at the 5. And, you know, when we go bigger with Alancia Ramsey and Lourdes Da Silva coming in at the 4 spot, you know, the ball's got to get to the paint. We're a different team than we were a year ago. So we've got to get the ball to the high post, low post, and power in the paint and play inside out, or we're not going to be very successful tomorrow night or in any given right. night.
As you said, putting this team together after that terrific team you had last year, but you've raised the bar, and that was what you came here for. I mean, the expectations now from the fans, you know, is to be in the NCAA tournament. And granted, we haven't even got to the SEC part of the schedule yet, and you've got a number of games left before you get into the SEC play. But I know coaches hate projecting, but when you look at what you are now as opposed to what you hope to be later in the season, how much, you know, what's the ceiling for this team? Is it can you improve a lot more, or you're already kind of, you know, some coaches say, you know, we are what we are, but do you see a higher ceiling for this team because of all the new players and still trying to kind of mold it together?
Absolutely. We are nowhere near where we need to be, but we are certainly headed in a positive direction. And I think as a coach, if you're ever satisfied with where you are, you know, the room for improvement right now is the biggest room in the house for us. And as we continue to learn and grow and be in situations, you know, it's hard to simulate. As good as our practice players are, it's hard to simulate game-like environments. And I think this team, you know, has a lot that we can continue to get better at. We're healthier than we've been. You know, it's nice having Wyatt Jennings back and Aris Lester back. So our depth is more where we're continuing to want to trend as far as being a little deeper and healthier. But it's exciting. You know, it's a fun group to coach. We definitely don't have to coach effort. We don't have to coach focus. They're working extremely hard to continue that. You know, as we always say, the culture doesn't graduate. And so I think it's important to continue to take it one day at a time and, you know, focus on what we can control. And that's just getting a little better today. And the focus and intensity with, you know, the tendencies of who we're about to play in a Clemson team that's really good and well coached is going to be critical. So it's a different style of play. A little bit of a cross between a Harvard and a Minnesota. So it'll be a good opportunity for us tomorrow to continue to see how we respond. A
couple more minutes with Christy Curry, Alabama women's head basketball coach. We've talked about this before. The schedule, obviously the SEC is going to be a gauntlet, as it always is. But you are blessed with a lot of home games. And these games count, too. So I know the idea is to stack up as many wins as you can get before you get into SEC play, because come tournament time, you know, all these games count. And you've got a chance with a lot of home games to really have a strong record before you get into the SEC portion of your schedule.
Yeah, you know, I was noticing there was a couple things across yesterday that, you know, who hadn't played Power 5, you know, or Tier 1, and we played Tier 1. But we've also done a good job of blending our non-conference opponents with – you know, mid-major teams that can possibly win their league. They're playing strong schedules. Our net yesterday was at 27. And, Gary, I think that's the importance. Mm-hmm. This team will constantly teach them what does that mean. You've got 7 new faces. You know, it's a constant. We want to be continuous learners here. And I think where our net's at, how we've handled our preseason schedule, and, you know, obviously winning is all that matters. The next one is all that counts. And if we do great, if we don't, we're going to continue to learn. So either way, our response is what's important. Well, but I love what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Our net's at 27, so we continue to move that forward, and we're in a position head into SEC play where we need to be.
Well, tomorrow night's an excellent opportunity for the fans to get out. 6 p.m. tip. ACC SEC Challenge. Clemson Tigers come to town. It's cold outside, but it'll be nice and toasty in inside Coleman Coliseum. So tomorrow night, really a big opportunity for the fans to come out in big numbers and support this team, Coach.
Absolutely. Please come out and support. You know, look forward to our men setting the tone tonight. We need to build on that tomorrow night. So everybody come out and support us. Excited for the opportunity for this team tomorrow night.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Gary. Have a good week. You outside.
Too. Absolutely. All right, 10:15 here on the Gary Harris Show. Great visit with Christy Curry. Hey, Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa, offers convenient, expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. They specialize in testosterone health, erectile dysfunction treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. Listen, if you are dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain, these aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of the symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. What you can expect from Game Day's tailored men's health plans: boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery. Man, think about this, guys. I've been there. The facility, the clinic is beautiful. And the way that they handle the staff is so professional. I'm telling you what, if you're not feeling your best, you can do something about it. Get back in the game at Game Day Men's Health, 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. We're going to come back with more phone calls on the other side. 205-342-9904 is the number if you want to join us on the Gary Harris Show. We'll be right back on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. Secretary of State Wes Allen backing GOP legislation that would make sure that Social Security numbers and driver's license numbers are not available to those who purchase state voter lists.
We think this is a win for the state of Alabama and for fortifying Alabama elections.
The session begins next month. Governor Ivey considering three Tuscaloosa attorneys to replace retired Tuscaloosa County Circuit Judge Brad Allman. And Bama hosts Clemson at 6:15 tonight at Coleman. I'm Don Hartley.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend to reminisce on college days or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special.
And off all IQBar products, plus free shipping when you text IQBar to 64000. Text IQBar to 64000 to get your 20% off. That's IQBar to 64000.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A brighter day today. The sky mostly sunny, the high 51. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 33. For tomorrow and Friday, cloudy both days with periods of rain. Highs between 47 and 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 37 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Did you miss any episode on Tide 100.9? Don't worry. All of our shows can be found on Spotify and Apple Music and on demand on the Tide 100.9 app.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought me some
corn for blood. Man, one of the best. I love me some Christmas music. Always have. In fact, and we got a cluster here, our station, our cluster here that does it. A lot of people would always say, I hate it when they start playing nothing but Christmas music. I'm like, bring it on, man. I turn to those stations all the time. I want to hear holiday music in the holiday season. All right, let's get out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and talk to Jeff up in Tennessee. Hey, Jeff. Did Jeff drop off? Jeff going once, going twice. Sorry about that, Jeff. We were going to get to you. But if you want to call us back, 205-342-9904, you can do so. In the meantime, I've got an app message. Let me pull it back up here. A lot of talk about and questions about Friday at the Free. And from what I understand, Fridays at the Free ended with the final game of the regular season. So I'm not expecting to be there from Racer up in Gordo, or you having Friday at the Free this week. If something changes, I'll double check today. And if something changes, I will let everyone know tomorrow. But right now, the expectation is that I'll be in studio on Friday. But anyway, glad that all the good times that we had at Innisfree during the season, if we don't get to do it again. But right now, my expectation is, from what I understand, that it'll be in studio. But I'll double check that today, folks. And if we are going to be at Innisfree on Friday, then I will let everybody know tomorrow. But right now, I think we're going to be in studio. All right, Alabama, Georgia, Again, a lot of the discussions that we've had already this morning are about the game, but also about the playoff and where does Alabama stand. Obviously, the Tide wins. As I said, I think if Alabama wins, they're going to get a bye. Suddenly, you go to 11-2 overall. You're the SEC champion, and you will have beaten Georgia twice. And, Chase, when you look at Georgia's schedule, if that happens, Georgia will have two losses, both of them to Alabama. Georgia's unbeaten against everybody else. So that case scenario, I think Alabama gets the bye into the quarterfinal, which means no home game. If you lose to Georgia, I think you still get into the playoff, but I think you will be on the road in that first round. Maybe at Oklahoma, maybe at Ole Miss. Who knows? So, as I said earlier in the show, I don't think that Alabama is going to have a home game in this college football playoff under any scenario. I think Bama wins, they're into the quarterfinals. If they lose, I think they'll be traveling. So I know there's a lot of people hopeful for a home game. But as I told Tom, of course, obviously, if you had to play in the first round, you'd rather be at home than on the road. But he asked me, would you rather have a home game or be in the quarterfinals? Duh. Of course you'd rather be in the quarterfinals. Man, give me a break. And I know last year that all those teams that had byes got beat. I get that. But still, you want to go as far as you can and get an extra week of rest and know that you're already one of the final eight. Nobody, if given that scenario, would volunteer and say, hey, we want to play an extra game. So, but that's kind of where it stands right now. All right, let's jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and talk to Anon. Hey, Anon.
Hey, Anon. Garrett, this is Anon from Sunrise. Hey,
Anon.
Thank you for my call, man.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I got a question, man. Whose idea? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the rationale is behind, them making the playoffs, with the conference champion, the four highest ranked conference champ to get an automatic bid. I mean, if they didn't do that, I think, everything would be a lot more clearer. And more fair. Why don't they just do the best 12 teams or the highest ranked 12 teams?
Yeah, listen, there's some tweaking that needs to be done. I think we're all starting to see that. And again, I don't know what they're going to do next year. I would like to see. I mean, I like the 14 playoff. I'm not going to lie to you. I was happy with that. But once you expanded, I don't know why you wouldn't go from 12 to 16 teams. To me, 16 just makes more sense. And that's where I would like to see the playoff go. And then you play 8 games in the first round at campus sites, the highest seeded team hosting another, like I've said before, one would host 16, two would host 15, 3, 14, 4, 13, so forth and so on, all the way down to 8 and 9. And that would make more sense to me. And do away with the conference championship games. And like you said, have no automatic bids, just line them up and rate them and take the 16 best teams. That's what I would like to see. But, that's probably not going to happen. I don't think these conferences want the conference championship games to go away because there's a lot of money to be made off them. That's another TV opportunity. And that's something, Anon, that you got to keep in mind, too, that these conferences and college football are getting a lot of money from TV. So TV has a lot of say in this. TV wants inventory, right? They want a return on their investment. These conference championship games are a return on their investment. They sell advertising on these games. It gives them programming. So that's got a lot to do with it as well. So to get back to your original point, I don't know that at the end of the day, just doing what's best or makes more sense is what this is about. I think this is about schedule, how it fits, TV inventory, spreading the wealth around to get more fan bases involved from different parts of the country. So I'm not sure it is about just getting the best teams. I think there's a symmetry between getting good teams and also getting the wealth spread around to create interest. Geography-wise, they want some teams in from the West Coast. Let's be honest. They want some teams in from different areas of the country. So this will be a well-rounded playoff and that the ratings will be representative of just the entire country. And, you know, let's just say you get into the quarterfinals and you've got six SEC teams. Well, that's great for the SEC, but I don't know that, you know, people in other parts of the country are necessarily going to agree with that. So see what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that go into this playoff other than just, hey, let's just line up and get the best teams.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, you know, when it comes to that, you know, the financial part, but I'm just saying, none of these group of five teams that ever made the playoffs, they didn't, I don't think they had any success. I remember when Cincinnati lined up against Bama.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the get-go, you could just tell. You could look at the two lines, you know, like, you know, this is over. Just looking at the two lines of when they
right.
lined up Bama versus Cincinnati, it's like, didn't make any sense. So, this is not say the 12 best teams, Seth. Because definitely it's not going to be the 12 best team. Might be 8, 9, or whatever, but not 12. On another note, why does the Bama, see how, Auburn, you know, made a lot of short passes, and, you know, they dropped a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen Bama doing that at all. I mean, they you know, you have a third and two or a fourth and two, and everybody's running down the field. You know, and there's space open. Just go short, sit down, and wait for the pass. I don't get it, why Bama does that.
You know, all I can tell you is, Anand, that they're going to look at everything that they did in that game against Auburn and try to make adjustments and be better prepared for, you know, this game against Georgia. That's what staffs do off of every game. But I know they'll look at everything and they'll try to address what you're talking about and be better prepared for it. Hey, Anand, I got to go, man. Thank you. Good to hear from you, buddy.
All right, thanks, man.
Appreciate it very much. All right, it is 10:29. We're going to come back with Larry the Music Man. And as you know, we take phone calls for Larry. And we're going to start it off with some Jefferson Starship today on the segment. So we'll look forward to that, Larry the Music Man. Also, real quickly, lunch is right around the corner. And as I've said before, if you want to get a great atmosphere with great service and great food, all three of those combinations are available at Billy's Sports Grill in beautiful historic downtown Northport, right there on Main Avenue. Yeah, the patio seating is so outstanding. That's a little cold for that today, but don't worry. They've got two dining rooms and a full bar for seating for lunch beginning at 11 a.m. All right, we're going to come back with Larry the Music Man next.
Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye.
Patios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Starship, welcome us back into the Larry the Music Man segment, and what a voice. And as we know, Larry's good friend Mickey Thomas later became the lead singer for Jefferson Starship or Starship. But Marty Balin, man, that song you just heard, Miracles, Count on Me, Runaway, just some great musical vocal talent, and on it as a single artist too. Atlanta Lady is an incredible song. Hey, real quickly, I wanted to update because Corey called in. Xavier Griffin has signed with Alabama. The 2026 Gainesville High School edge rusher out of Georgia, all high school All-American, he has already signed, and he's one of he has not signed yet. Hang on.
Brett Greenberg, 247 Sports, reported about 9 minutes ago he has not yet signed. There's nothing to worry about. Just
okay, well, I saw
the ceremony for Gainesville High School is tomorrow.
Okay. Well, I saw several sites that put it out that he had signed, and that's why, because earlier when Corey called, I said, well, I don't know. And then I, But the latest is that he has not signed.
247 Sports is reporting he has not yet signed.
Okay.
Nothing to worry about. That ceremony is just tomorrow.
Okay, well, I'm glad you I see that now. I'm glad you set that out. They're just waiting to have their signing ceremony tomorrow. Of course, a lot going on with Gainesville High School, as we know. Did they wind up playing their playoff game last week? Do you know?
I believe so.
Okay.
I know the two Alabama commits, Griffin and the other guy's name just completely blanked.
I went blank too.
They were not involved in it, so if it did play or if they are going to play it, then they'll have.
They're good to go.
Game,
okay.
Like half that roster.
That was crazy. It was a brawl with Gainesville High School, and they were going to be without like 40 players. They petitioned to the Georgia High School Athletic Association. But anyway, another story for another time. It's time to get Larry the Music Man on here, and let's get back to Jefferson Starship. Now, Larry, what a classic voice that Marty Ballin had.
Gary, you and I have had this discussion about him, and I know we talked about him, but we really hadn't highlighted him, and I am by no means biased toward Mickey Thomas. Mickey Thomas took over in 79 and had his great run, but they're two different vocalists.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, Marty, I'm telling you, when it comes to smooth.
Oh, one of the best ever. I mean, one of the absolute best.
Rich tenor, warm and pure, good time, good feeling music. Gray Slick once said when they sang on stage, it was like they were making love. I mean, they were so, yeah, if you'll listen. I almost did Miracles as my pick, but I wanted to feature Craig's great guitar work interplay with that song, With Your Love. Craig was such a great guitar player. Of course, he went on and really rocked with Mickey, but that was a good time for the Jefferson Starship during that period. Those songs were really influential during that time period. And Lana Lady, in fact, if you... When you do your break, if you want to treat everybody to that song, that's fine with me. It was in 81. But I'm going to tell you, man, he had a good solo career, but it never is for people like me and you and purists musical to talk about him because of his talent. And it's just a shame he didn't go further. You know what I'm saying? It really is. And it could be management, record. It gets involved.
When you read about the Jefferson Starship, there was Paul Kantner, Gray Slick, Marty Ballin. I mean, there were some clashes that band had, in terms of control and musical direction and everything else. Because as you know, obviously they came out of the 60s and the psychedelic rock era, and then when they hit their peak in the mid-70s, like you said, with Marty Ballin, that was more what you would call soft rock, or like we said, just put it on a Sunday morning and listen to the songs. And then as they tweaked that and later with Mickey Thomas, it became what a lot of people refer to as commercial rock. I mean, they sold a lot of records, and so they went through a lot of changes.
Well, Marty and Grace left at the same time, but then Grace came back later and had the long run with Mickey. But I got a trivia question, then I'm going to list my other four groups. And this happened around the same time in the early 70s. It's something you don't see much, but it was a song that hit the top 100 on the country and the Billboard pop chart, a rock chart. It was a rarity. It was a one-time shot. The guy played keyboard on the cheesiest farfisa. There was two types of organs in the 60s that bands made famous, was the Vox Continental and the farfisa. Well, he played a farfisa organ on this song, and they knew immediately they had a hit. I'm giving away a little bit of the stuff, but the guitar player was phenomenal on the intro, and he later was with Elvis on many of his hits. B.J. Thomas, Hooked on a Feeling, Elvis Presley, Suspicious Minds, Allman Brothers, Soul Shine, Dobie Gray, Drift Away. So if anybody thinks they might know who I'm talking about, call in.
But, all right, 205-342-9904 if you want to try to answer that.
I need the artist and the hit. I need the name of the song and the artist. My number two pick, kind of lost in the shuffle, and I saw these guys up at Richards in Atlanta. They were playing with a band called Most Jones that had been signed by Al Kooper. And I was very close to that connection, being up doing demos and stuff, and it was the Raspberries. We went to see them at Richards when Most played that night, and you can find the CD. It's very rare. It's Most Jones Live at Richards. It was Eric Carmen, man, they rocked the place. That was really a good time rocking band, you know, with Go All the Way, I Want to Be With You. Then, of course, Eric Carmen went on with his solo career, did quite well. But they really rocked for that time period. And then the other one you and I have talked about, Firefall. I mean, they get lost too sometimes in great bands from the 70s, you know. Just Remember I Love You, Strange Way. You Are the Woman, mm-hmm. Headed for a Fall. I mean, they were part of that. That was Rick Roberts of the Burrito Brothers and the Birds. That was kind of in the Spirit. A lot of people don't remember that great band, Spirit. Mark Andes came from Spirit and played bass with Firefall. But it was kind of the Birds and the Burrito Brothers and Spirit that made Firefall happen. So, and my other one is Steeler's Wheel.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Rafferty. Yeah.
One hit in 72. They broke up in 75. Of course, Rafferty goes on with Baker Street and Right Down the Line. Big hits in 78, had a good solo career. And at least your man right here, Black Oak, Arkansas, Gary Jim Dandy.
Oh, yeah. Something else.
James Leslie Mangrum, Ruby Starr. They had their say. They were a good live band. They didn't have they had the big song, you know, Jim Dandy. And they were around for a long time. And Ruby Starr, you know, had a good solo career,
mm-hmm.
The backup singer. She was kind of like a Joplin.
Oh, absolutely. She's
well
known, yeah. All right.
But
well,
if anybody wants to mention anything about my five or they got groups, we're going to keep this going and try to cover them all before we get into the 60s.
All right, let's get to a phone call. And Super Joe usually calls in and talks some Alabama football, but he wanted to get on with Larry this morning. Hey, good morning, Super Joe. What up, Ida?
Hey, what's going on, Gary? What's up, Larry? How y'all feeling now?
You're feeling great, brother.
How you doing, brother? Man, I hear your calls all the time. You bring it, man.
Thanks, man. I think, man, hey, and I like to speak to y'all too, man. Y'all make my day.
Well, thank you.
Okay, you know, I'm gonna say something too, like what y'all been hearing, what's the feedback y'all been getting on practice?
Yeah,
how they been practicing and preparing?
Well, you know, it's they don't let a lot of information out, and but they do did send out some video yesterday, and everything I'm hearing, Super Joe, is that everything's going well. They're trying to get some guys, you know, a little healthier this week and be ready to go. But I expect that they're going to have a good week of preparation. Alabama will be ready to play. If they lose the game, it's because Georgia will have played better. But I think they'll be ready to go. Winning that Iron Bowl, and there's a sigh of relief around the program right now. And I think they'll go in there ready to get it done, Super Joe.
Yeah, I believe all that too. Cause like I said, we're gonna fight full quarters and all that. Cause you know, like I said, because I mean, one thing about it, it ain't about sometimes the swift or the strong, but sometimes the one who endure.
That's right.
And Alabama knows how to do it on them clutch times. You know, it's just like one thing I can say about in the dog fight. People say the Rottweilers are stronger, but I think the pit bulls the one got the endurance, and I believe we're gonna be the pit bulls to come out at the end of the day.
All right, Super Joe. Well, thank you, Pana. We're gonna get back to the music segment, but good to hear from you as always. We'll take our break and we'll come back. If you want to talk to Larry the Music Man, 205-342-9904. Again, we're talking about great acts from the 70s We're spotlighting Jefferson Starship with Marty Ballin on vocals.
Buzz around and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world-class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info,
the year ends on December 7th. For just a few more days, you can get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A brighter day today, the sky mostly sunny, the high 51. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 33. For tomorrow and Friday, cloudy both days with periods of rain, highs between 47 and 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 37 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
Jefferson Starship with Marty Ballin on vocals. That is Runaway. Larry the Music Man segment, and we're going to get to some more phone calls in just a moment. Larry, again, when you were...
Great guitar there, Gary. Yeah, Craig was killing it. He always did the right stuff and those songs that made it work.
Oh, absolutely. They were a great band. And like we said, just an interesting band because they reinvented themselves, you know, from psychedelic rock to you know, more of that soft rock sound, and later to this in the early 80s with your friend Mickey Thomas on vocals, just blew up the charts and rock this city and so forth. But Ballin, what a great singer. All right, let's get to a phone call. Punch John T through. Hey, John T.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is a beautiful morning. And since we're in the 70s, and this is kind of away from the Jefferson Starship, which I was more of Jefferson Airplane, kind of hippie myself back in the time. But I heard a song the other day. It was released in 79, and this is far off the genre, but it was Ralph Stanley with Keith Whitley and Ricky Skaggs. It was on Bluegrass Junction, but I just wanted to mention that since we're still talking about the 70s. One song from the 70s I really enjoyed was Chevy Van. Who actually sang that?
Sammy John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, brother, I know you know that trivia question. If I give you a hint, I'm going to see if you can get it, okay?
All right.
It was a crossover hit in 1974 on the country and rock Billboard chart. It had the cheesiest organ in it, and it started with a guitar intro with just guitar player Reggie Young. It was the Memphis Boys on the backup, and he had to go get a far piece of organ, borrow one from another studio to make this happen. One of the lines in the song is, if your child needs a daddy, see if that jogs a memory. Big hit, man, 1974.
It doesn't. My memory's not the best.
I'm gonna wait and see if somebody else gets it, but you bring good stuff, brother. Yeah, Sammy John, what a great that's one of those songs you just kind of forgot about, and all of a sudden you say,
Yeah.
Yeah,
and let me say one more thing, and I'll get off the phone. And I hadn't heard anybody really talk about Pink Floyd. I truly enjoyed
the We'll get Pink Floyd.
Thank you, John T. Yeah, he pointed it out, though. Yeah, it was, you know, again, we talked about how they reinvented themselves. Jefferson Airplane to Jefferson Starship to just Starship, and all three of those. You hear that busy signal? Get rid of that. Thank you, Chase. All three of those, same band, but all three different styles. I know the answer to your question, but I'm going to wait and see if somebody can get it, too. It's great. Yeah. It's a great song. We'll answer before we close it out. All right, go ahead and punch Rag and Glory through. He likes to go last, but he's the only one on the phone line. Hey, Rag and Glory.
Last but not least, I hope.
Never.
Hey, Rag and Glory.
You know, man. Hey, you know what? You can call me Faded Glory at this time of day if you want.
I'll never call you Ragged Story, though.
Hey, there you go. Hey, you know what? You can call me Ray, and you can call me Jay. But you doesn't have
on
to call me
on the cover of
Tom.
The Rolling Stone, yeah.
Hey, yes. Man, thank you. John T., thank you. But, you know, I go back to, yeah, it's Airplane. I'm sorry. Give me Greg Slick and that band in the 60s, and then evolve into Starship, which I had that album. Okay, great. Beautiful, lovely, but wasn't one of my favorites. Because they built that city on rock and roll, and we're talking about San Francisco. Now, let's get to the 70s. I'm going to save a few of the best for last. Let's cover a little bit of glam right now. Man, hats off to Mark Bolan. T-Rex. Oh, yep. Man, and I can give you a few songs, which ones you want. You know what? And another one that captured my heart, and this is all from Germany, you know, in 72 through 76, the Sweet Fox on the Run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
sleep is great. Oh, yeah. You're not going to believe this. That was on my list. That was a one hit, had a very catchy fox. You know what I mean? I said, man, that's not well on the same page.
Yeah, I can sing the whole song to you. And then Ballroom Blitz followed that up. You know, Desolation Sweet. Boulevard launched Sweet. You know, let's go also with Deep Purple again. I got to see them twice, once with Ian Gillan before he left, and then, you know, and went to Jesus Christ Superstar. And but they came back with Burn, and that's, you know, what launched David Coverdale. And I got my right ear blown out. I got my right ear blown out.
Who did you prefer?
I'm sorry?
Who did you prefer, Coverdale or
Gillan? You know what? You know, it's like, you know, do you want a taco or do you want a burrito? They're both great. Okay. But I did like Gillan, honestly.
I did too. But
and I was amazed by Ritchie Blackmore. I mean, oh my gosh. I got my right eardrum almost pierced and blown out.
He was a peculiar, difficult dude, but he could play a guitar.
He was an ass, but he was great. Yeah.
Golly, Moses, yes.
I remember him shooting coke all over people in the front.
Oh, Lord.
He got mad
I didn't get any of that, but it sure would have helped with my earache. because I was second row in, standing right in front of him and his aunt. Oh, my God. But anyways,
you know,
okay,
he always said he was the best. Yeah, he'd tell you.
Richie Blackmore didn't mince words. He didn't care if it was who it was. He said he was the best, and he was a determined guy. Yeah, I mean, you know, it didn't matter. Jimmy Page, Pete Townsend, Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton, any of them, he'd tell you Blackmore.
Yeah, I remember one show he turned his back on the band. He just went over and you just never knew what his mood was going to be.
No, you didn't. And he was one of the few that would blast other guitar players. Yeah, most of those guys tried to kind of stick up for each other, even if they were rivals. And you know, but he, not him. He just say, "No, that guy's not any good." He can't. I mean, he just said Pete Townsend was a showman, but he wasn't much of a guitar player. I said, "Whoa."
Well, every one of them are so dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm going to tell you right now, Pete Townsend's one of the best songwriters and a composer.
And Blackmore said that. Blackmore said he brought a lot to the table. He just said he was an overrated guitar player. But like you said, he thought everybody was overrated other than him. So.
He thought Jimmy Page was overrated.
Yeah, so, you know what those Brits, you know what, and watch them all go down to the local pub and drink a bunch of beers with each other.
All right, we got to get to the trivia question. Did you know it, Ragged Glory?
I'm going to be honest with you because I've got too much more research I've been doing on things that we still got to fill out before we get out of the 70s.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys stuck me on this one, but it's okay. And as soon as you tell me,
let me ask because I think it's I Can Help by Billy Swan. Okay.
Philip, if you're listening, brother, this was for you. We had a big conversation about Reggie Young, and I know Philip can't always call because of the schedule,
right.
Reggie Young, that and then that cheesy. When we first heard that, my band's going down the road. We said, "My God, that's a Memphis, boy."
Yeah,
they clapped. They knew they had a hit, Gary. Yeah. They clapped on the end.
Yeah,
and it was crazy, man. They knew they had a hit, and that sucker was big. It jumped both charts. And then never heard from Billy again.
All right, guys, listen.
Hang on. You're saying I Can Help? I Can Help?
Yep, Billy Swan.
Yeah, that's it. Can't hang on anymore, Raggy Glory. We gotta go, my friend. I'd like to just keep on talking, but we got other shows to get to. Hey, thank you, Larry. We appreciate you. That's going to close it out for the Gary Harris Show for this Wednesday edition. But we've got more sports talk coming. And, of course, on my show, we talk about a little bit of everything. But we got Miller's Edge coming up next. Deep South College Football Show at 1, Fowler at 2. We'll crank it back up in the morning, 6 a.m. with Martin Houston, 7 to 9, Wimp and Barry, and I'll be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. We're going to get you out of here with some miracles by Jefferson Starship. Have a great day, everybody.